Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Now, all our GAA on News Talk is with Bord Gáis Energy, official sponsor of the GAA Hurling Under 21 Championship. Keep up to date and follow hashtag Hurling to the Core. Now, all this week online, you'll have seen a new four-part Fly on the Wall documentary that AIB has put together with the Roscommon senior footballers called Behind the Gates. It's a really interesting watch. It's not often these days you get a look behind the curtains into the inter-county setup, so I'm delighted to be joined by Roscommon footballer Enda Smith. Have you watched it yet?
I have. I've watched the three episodes now so far. So finished watching the third one there earlier now. So the third one is a nice one to savour. It's a nice one to kind of look back on, and you'll remember it for a while.
You're happy with how it's all ended up?
Yeah, I think it's it's fairly it's not trying to kind of get any state secrets out of Roscommon football, or it's not trying to kind of diss on anyone. I think it's just a general documentary, just to, you know, it's great for supporters to see kind of what goes on, and just general sports fans as well, because you normally wouldn't kind of get that sort of access to GAA teams now. So, like I was saying, it wasn't a difference in us kind of winning a Connacht final or losing a quarter final. You know, it was just a different kind of take on the air. But it's great to have a good memory to look back on it as well.
But I dare say, if you had lost the Connacht final and this came out the following October, it would have been raised as one of the issues. When did you first get word that this documentary might be happening?
So they first came in the weekend after we beat Leitrim. So at the end of June, we were away. The first episode actually shows that we were away in Johnstown House at a training camp. That was the first time we were exposed to the cameras. And to be honest, it was the first time you're kind of looking around and you're really not quite sure, just what are these lads doing there and what's going on. And then eventually, after like a couple of sessions there with us a week or two, and to be honest, it was just like another member of backroom team. You were just, they were there, but you didn't notice them, you know. When it comes to games and like important times in training, like lads are just kind of tuned into their own bubble and they're not really focused on what's going on.
Like, it's not like going into the Dublin footballers and saying we want to do a fly in the wall doc, where there's a basic understanding there's going to be a lot of good times along the way, and you're probably going to get to an All-Ireland final, and either way you get the emotion of that.
Yeah.
You've just been relegated from Division 1. There's a lot of sniping going on around you and around the group, and a lot of pressure on the management team. Was there any wariness within the group? Was there anyone who put their hand up and said, I'm just not comfortable with this?
There actually wasn't, you know. And even talking to lads, like after that weekend away, you're kind of thinking, like, what do you think of the cameras there? Lads just said, as long as it didn't affect us training or playing, no problem. And like, we knew it wasn't going to be released during the season, so there was no motivation for teams before they played us, you know, to kind of, oh, he said that, or they're saying this. Like I said, after the first week or two there with us, it was just like another member of management doing their job. You know, it was only a couple of lads there. It wasn't a whole bunch of crew with them. It was only a couple of lads that were doing it consistently. And like I said, it's nice to look back on anyway.
Yeah, I'd imagine it is, because we often hear like people talk about Gaelic games and the inter-county scenes like North Korea at the moment. We don't get any sort of insight into what goes on in the dressing room. You definitely seem to get that balance of, you get the raw emotion, you get some brilliant speeches, both at Johnstown House and at halftime in the Connacht final, at halftime in the All-Ireland quarterfinal, but there's no great tactical revelations.
Yeah.
We're not getting an insight into how you're going to be lining up in Division 2 next season.
Yeah, they're not kind of naming players that they're bringing into the panel next year or who's leaving. You know, it's stuff that goes on in every dressing room, very, I suppose, general stuff. And that's the thing I think that supporters crave. They want to know what's going on, and then when they look at it, I think they're realising, Jesus, like, I can, like, that's pretty general. I thought it was going to be, you know, something out of the extraordinary, but it's, you know, it's very it happens all the time in GAA dressing rooms.
Like, do you get that sense that, and it'll be interesting to see the reaction to this, like, I know you're still only, what, 23?
Just 23, yeah.
But you've been in around the inter-county setup 4 or 5 years now. Do you get the sense when you're down in Roscommon that people do feel that they've lost a little bit of touch with the inter-county player, and maybe that's one of the reasons why the criticism, when it does come, is a lot harsher, because there isn't that personal connection anymore?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose Roscommon as a county, like, they're mad, yeah. And I suppose when we were growing up underage, we'd been quite successful, a couple of minors, a couple of 21s, and you feel, you know, the crowd, like, but that's when you're underage. It's a different ball game come senior, and like, we haven't been really successful at senior, a couple of league titles. And then obviously the hammering in the Connacht final 2016, and then the whole goings on of the winter and then the league, and then you're in a position before where these people, they don't really kind of give you time. And we knew ourselves that people didn't expect much from us, from family, like they were hoping we'd win, obviously, but kind of hoping for the best, but not really thinking we'd do anything. Even the most passionate Roscommon supporters would have been writing us off, and that would have fueled us then, definitely. And you know, you see the outpouring of emotion in episode 3 after the game between fans, players, everything, what it meant. It is like that's what it's all about. That's what the supporters kind of see now, and it's brilliant for them to see that, like, on the build up for it.
Those moments at Pearce Stadium after you won the Connacht final, and the incredible emotion that was shown by the players, the onrush of people onto the pitch, it's so far away from what was there 6 months previous when you've Gay Sheeran on the sidelines questioning whether Kevin McStay should be in charge. These aren't Roscommon people, these are Mayo people coming into our county, we should have our own people. You have a lot of players leaving the squad, deciding to step away. Like, before the league and during that league campaign, when it is tough, are you looking around going, like, this isn't what inter-county life is meant to be? This isn't what I dreamed about.
Yeah, look, no doubt it was tough. There were some tough days. You know, as a player, you're going into every game thinking, you know, you have a really good chance of winning this. You know, Kevin and Liam and Gerard get us, you know, pumped up, believing in every game we'll win. And then after 20 minutes of some games, we're getting hammered here. And then after the game, you know, it's all down. And the next few days, you're kind of in a lull, but you're not really questioning what's going on within the panel. You're more questioning your own performance, yourself. Like, are you doing enough? So it wasn't a case that, Jesus, the team isn't going here well, I might just kind of jump shift. It was more of a personal thing. It was just always, it always came back to ourselves. And that's what we kind of gathered when we talked about it kind of after the league. It was just, were we actually doing enough as players? And we obviously probably weren't.
And was, like, that talked out among the group?
It would have been talked among the group, yeah. And like at Division 1 level, for a county like Roscommon, we probably need to be performing at really high levels. And you've seen the year before, like, we had done a lot of work in preparation for Division 1. Whereas other teams like Dublin, Mayo, Kerry, they have a huge panel to pick from. They can throw in lads who mightn't see a lot of championship time, but they're going to do a job for them in Division 1 and make sure they stay up or make sure they consolidate or get to a final.
Well, Kevin McStay talks about that before the quarterfinal, talking about this six-week spell, that this is where we peak.
Yeah.
Was that a very different conversation from 2016, where it definitely seemed as staying in Division 1 and getting a couple of years playing at the very highest level, getting 6-7 games against these top-tier teams was the plan? And he just seemed to run out of steam when it came to Connacht final replay, losing to Clare. Was that very much a conversation that had happened?
Yeah, it was. I suppose 2016, it was kind of new to the players, new to the management, Division 1 for Roscommon. So I suppose, looking back, they maybe didn't know how to take it on. You know, we'll train a lot. You know, we'll be fine. We'll get through Division 1. Just stay up in Division 1. Everything will be okay. But we actually started obviously winning and performing quite well and getting a bit of recognition and making a semi-final. And then there's more spotlight on the team and everything. We were travelling to New York that year as well. So we had played the league semi-final against Kerry, got an absolute hammering. And then you're flying off to New York then 2 weeks later and then nearly losing to New York. And then more, both physically and then mentally, you're absolutely drained from the game and the travelling. Then mentally thinking, Jesus, we nearly lost to New York, you know, a point in it. And then you're just kind of coming into these games and definitely the same drive and appetite definitely wasn't there. But like I said, it was a new thing for the management at that time. And I think Kevin would reference it a lot, even to media and to the players, when he was talking that we were looking to peak for a Connacht final. We knew if we got over Leitrim, you know, we had the favourable side of the draw. If we got over Leitrim, we'd be there. And that was kind of instilled in our heads. So we knew when things weren't going well in November or in the league that, you know, just keep plucking away. We're looking to peak come summer. And thankfully, we managed to pull out a big performance against Galway. And, you know, the first Mayo game, we performed to a high level. But the second game then just kind of went away from us very quick and was hard to get back from it.
Is that a quick fire maturity that comes into the squad in the space of a year then, that you can have a conversation at the start of the league and say, listen, I know we worked very hard to get to Division 1, to stay in Division 1, but we may need to sacrifice this because we want some silverware.
Yeah.
We want to win a Connacht Championship. And the next stage for this group is to get some silverware. And listen, there's going to be some criticism. Could you prepare yourself for the level of criticism that came over those few months?
I don't think we prepared for ourselves to go get relegated. You know, we went into every game thinking we'd win and believing, you know, we'd win. There's some game, like the Donegal game at home, very, like, we could have won that game. There was a point in it. We had a chance at the end. The Kerry game, we were very close to Kerry with 14 men. And obviously we beat Cavan. And these performances, I know we were losing, but we felt that we actually, I know it's a kind of strange thing to say, but we felt that we actually weren't miles off and that we hadn't done half the work we had done the year before. Mm. So we knew there was more in us. So then, like, after the league, then there was a couple of weeks lull, and then we went back into Championship with no talk about us, nothing, just trained away, did our own thing. Even when we beat Leitrim, which I felt was one of the best complete performances that I've been involved in our Scotland team, just for energy and kind of the whole, especially the first half, we were very good. But that wasn't talked about either, so brilliant. Do you know, we're going in, like, I think the players know we're going well. The management kind of feel it as well. Every training, we were walking away more confident. Yeah, we're in a good place here. And that's kind of what it led to then, the weekend in Johnstown House.
Yeah.
It's kind of just fine-tuning and into the Connacht final then.
So I want to play a clip from that weekend in Johnstown House. So the scene is that you'd had a training session, I think it was the first day you'd arrived, and maybe Kevin McStay wasn't particularly happy with the intensity, and instead of going back out and having the second session, he decided we'll all just get together in a room and we'll talk about why I want to play for Roscommon and what it means to me.
I suppose Keane was on the minor team in 2006 when Roscommon won it, and then in 2007 when he was just 19, he had a problem with his throat for a couple of months. He was struggling to speak, and he found out it was actually cancer in his throat. But he is a huge inspiration. You know, when we go out there, it means so much for him to see us playing for Roscommon.
He's our best supporter, and look, we'd always look to him, and we'd always kind of see him as kind of the guy that we want to make him proud out of probably everyone else in our family. Like, he is the man. Like,
it's a tough watch. You're standing up in front of all your teammates telling the story, an incredibly personal story about your brother. And did everyone in that room already know this story? Did they know just what you were carrying around with you?
All the lads would have known that, you know, my brother was sick. I suppose it wouldn't be a thing that you'd discuss, you know, at training or things like that. But I suppose that concept that Kevin kind of brings in, kind of when you tell a bit about it yourself, it's all about stuff that people don't know about you. So I was up that day, and I suppose I was 22-year-old, and it was mostly some of the older lads who were doing it, who had great stories about travelling and work and everything. So I'm standing up here, 22, right, I've been to school, I've been to college, I play football. Okay, everyone else has done that. I need something just to kind of... And then at the end of it, he always wants to kind of give your perspective on kind of why do you do all the training, why do you play for Roscommon. And I was hemming and hawing, to be honest, about whether I'd do it or not, because I want to get it right, kind of click with lads. I wasn't sure just how it would come across, but obviously in the end I decided to do it. Just kind of started into it, and that was very early in the clip of the first episode when I'm kind of choking up. And yeah, just in fairness, I think it did hit a chord with lads. You know, there was a lot of lads kind of in the similar situation, kind of teary-eyed, and kind of it did hit hard with lads. And Kevin, I think, said it after that, you know, that's real stuff, lads. That's kind of that's going to be great to draw on now in 2 weeks' time. You know, something like that to kind of look back on. And why do you do this when we're 2 points down? Or, you know, that's why you do it. And like I said, it's just happened. One of those things you don't plan at all. It just happened. And sometimes they're the best things that don't plan, it just happens. And it came off quite well anyway with the players, which was the main thing.
Is it a difficult balance for you to get right, the way you're talking and the emotion? And so yourself and Donny, your brother, are both in the squad, and Keane was part of a minor squad, probably would have been part of this squad if he hadn't got the illness. That you're playing for him, but like the thought of that, like that's a huge pressure putting on yourself going out into a Connacht final thinking I need to do it for him.
Yeah.
It's almost overwhelming pressure. You can't live up to that. Are you well capable of getting that balance right?
Yeah, I feel myself, I would feel myself that I feel, I suppose, comfortable with it. You know, it's not something that I think about all the time, but you know, you think about it and you might see him and you're kind of like, right, I'm going training now, he can't, or something like that. And then, like, just I suppose realizing, like, in the week of the game, then you know you've your training done essentially the week of the game. You're not going to get any fitter or any stronger. So I suppose the days leading up to it is all yourself and kind of how you're preparing for the game. And I suppose, like I said, it's energy to you. It crosses your mind. It's emotional energy that you kind of store away. That when things mightn't be going as well, that you hope that you have something to kind of draw on. And it is a huge lift, no doubt about it. And I like. Myself, anyway, I see it as a big plus for me that I can use something like that. That's something kind of so close to me, but that I don't let it affect me in a negative way. That I don't get too bogged down on it. That if I lose, I'm letting someone else down. That it's just something that I have, I suppose, personal to myself, and something that is kind of it's going to be there forever. And it's good to kind of draw back on it, and kind of he'll talk to me about it as well, and kind of. Say, do you know what it means to him as well? So it's good to hear from him as well about it.
What did he say to you after the Connacht final?
He was very proud. The clip in season 3 actually, or the episode 3 shows us embracing. So that was a nice moment. So you never think you'd see your family after the just engulf of people on the pitch. But I meant to meet him anyway, and to see him was. That was nice. That was a nice feeling, definitely. It was probably one person that you wanted to see.
How's Keane now?
He's good. Keane's keeping well. Yeah, and he's back now. He's does a bit of coaching now at the moment, but obviously doesn't play sport. But no, he keeps involved with the coaching. He'll be at all our club games and county games, and he's a big supporter, a big football fan, actually, in general.
You must have been very young when he was diagnosed.
Just 13. Yeah, so just quite young, yeah.
It's a lot for a 13-year-old to deal with, your older brother.
Yeah, he was only 19 as well at the time, so it was a strange one, and especially throat cancer. It's not really a thing you associate with a young 19-year-old healthy guy. It's more kind of a 50 to 6-year-old who might have been smoking or something in their lives. But so it was a bit of a shock at the time, but it's only now you realise, like at 13, like you're living in a bubble that you're, you know, like, you'll be all right, hopefully. But it's only kind of when you get to... a bit older that you realise, like, he could have, you know, he mightn't be here today, like, and it happens so quick as well that you have no real time to think about it. But look, we're lucky to still have him around, and it's good, it's great to have him there.
One of the great things about having a documentary like this after the fact is that when you have success, you have it mapped out and you can look back and you can watch it again and again and again. And like, one of the most iconic images of the summer was you in the air in the piss and rain at Pearce Stadium, thousands upon thousands of Roscommon people around you. And like, we've got the championship draws tonight, and we're sort of moving away from, like, even from the Munster Hurling Championship, which was seen as untouchable. It's a totally different system. And you just saw the power of a provincial championship and what it can still mean to people. Having watched it back, does it add to it? Does it add to being able to look back already and get a behind the scenes glimpse into what it was like in the dressing room? Because I guess it all does flash by in an instant.
Definitely, yeah. It's... like those moments, even during the game, after the game, and then the days after the game, kind of different celebrations or whatever, they're a total blur. You don't realise until like maybe the week after, because like we were back training the Wednesday preparing for a quarter final, and that was the talk. So the Connacht final is gone. You have no real time to sit back and kind of think about what you did. Or
you went around. I hadn't realised at the time, but you celebrated it properly in that you went around to all the towns in Roscommon.
And on the way home, we stopped off in 3 of the clubs. So we'd have been passing through Port Pierce's, St. Bridget's and St. Dominic's. Stopped in them all there for an hour, I'd say, each, which is brilliant. Got a great reception there, and then back into Roscommon town then. And yeah, like, that's the thing you wouldn't really see with, you know, if Dublin win a Leinster, you know, they put it away and, you know, that's it. Whereas a county like Roscommon, it's like that's what shows what it means. But it would have been like if Down won an Ulster this year, you know, there would have been similar scenes, I'd say, and similar if Tipperary won a Munster. You know, that's why I think the provincials myself are just so important, and they bring that, they really connect with the fans and the players. It means an awful lot to the players.
It's quite striking, the change in intensity amongst the coaching staff as the season progresses, and emotional intensity, something we probably associate quite a lot with rugby. But I thought for the first couple of games, Kevin McStay was a lot calmer than I would have expected in the dressing room, even at half time. And by the time you get to the two Mayo games, whew, like bloody hell.
Yeah.
The hair stand on the back of your necks is you're getting ready to run out to face Mayo in an All-Ireland quarterfinal.
Yeah, I suppose it was a situation we'd never been in as players. I think Seanie McDermott was the only 2010 quarterfinal. So we'd never been at this stage before. You know, the last eight of All-Ireland, two games away from a final, you know, obviously one game away from a semi. Playing in Croke Park in front of, I think the first day could have been maybe 60,000 to 65,000, which like is like we no one on our team would have played in front of that before. And the fact that it was Mayo, you know, a neighbour, added always adds a bit of spice to it as well. And I think he felt it at that day as well, Kevin himself, that what it meant for the group in our development in the next few years, what it meant, what a win here could do, or what a performance could do, like it'll lift the county, it'll bring us hopefully to another level that we're obviously striving to get to.
He talks a lot there about us as Roscommon people, which seems, again, you've been in so many of these dressing rooms, maybe it wasn't, maybe it's just the way it was shot and edited down. It suddenly does feel after the Connacht final that Kevin McStay is a lot more us, me. Mm. This as a group of Roscommon people, that maybe after the Connacht success he suddenly felt part of this greater thing.
I suppose like leading up to the Connacht final, there would have been, like I said, there was no real hope of us, and Kevin would have obviously dealt with a lot of criticism and would have been tough on him, and he would have probably felt then as a man from Mayo that, you know, that he's kind of looking around that these Roscommon people don't want me here, but that, like, which was in my case a load of nonsense. Like, the man had been living in Roscommon most of his life.
Yeah.
Do you know, he's more Roscommon than me probably. But I suppose the Connacht final win took a lot of pressure off his shoulders, and it was only then that I think that people in Roscommon, I suppose, really appreciated what had been done. Like, we hadn't beat Galway since 2001, like, to beat them by 9 points over in Salt Hill. I don't think even the best Roscommon teams of the 70s and 80s ever did that. So it was never been done. And I think then Kevin, I suppose, finally kind of felt that, you know, when he was probably getting the plaudits, and rightly so, after the Galway game, that he's kind of back in the mix, back on, but in his good side again. But I don't think he was never gone, really. But I think then the Mayo game, the fact it was Mayo, obviously for himself, was added a bit more. But I think it was more so that we were in a quarter final, never there before, as a group, very young group, going into this cauldron of Croke Park, a wet day, always adds to atmosphere and mistakes and everything. Do you know, everything is nearly, you hear a groan and everything you do in the crowd. So it's, I think that just added to it all, and the build up. And looking back at it, you know, you get shivers up your spine really watching it. Like, and as a player, you don't remember those things because you're so zoned in at the moment. So looking back on that, it is good for the player and obviously a supporter to kind of look and see what goes on.
McStay, quite early in one of the episodes, talks about being written off and how he wanted to channel that with ye into anger, into getting that into the performance. Like, that's a delicate process, I'd imagine, for a manager talking to a group of players where he's coming in, lads, nobody thinks anything of ye, nobody expects anything.
Yeah.
Everyone out there thinks you're useless.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't say that. No. But what were the team talks around there when he's trying to motivate you but also maintain the confidence that, listen, here, you're inter-county footballers, you're the best players in Roscommon?
Yeah, I suppose it would have been mainly about, nobody's given us a chance, we know we can do it, we're doing it in training. I suppose from a player's point of view, when you see things happening in training, you know things are going well that the management are telling you to do, and when you see that happening in training week after week, it grows confidence. So when, as players, we were seeing this in training a lot, obviously. And you're leaving training going, yeah, more confident. That's another step up the ladder. We're on our way now. Leaving a weekend away when you do a lot of work, obviously, and you just feel confident. You feel refreshed. You have more confidence in the man beside you. You have more confidence in yourself, and obviously the management, that things are going well, and that this performance is just kind of bubbling nicely and it's just ready to explode. So I think they were the main kind of parts that Kevin would have used, that we were being written off, that, like, no one was giving us a chance. But then where we got our confidence from was just in training ourselves, seeing what we had talked about happening in front of our eyes, and that you're seeing lads putting in a huge effort. That's where you kind of get the confidence out of. It's not from that some fella wrote something about us that you get confidence that you want to prove them wrong. It's when you see things, when you see your teammates doing things that they're supposed to, and you're doing it as well, that's where you see the confidence and that's where you build it from.
That atmosphere in Croke Park for the quarterfinal, like it was a very special day, I think, for people from Mayo and Roscommon, because there's such a good rivalry. It's quite a warm rivalry at times. Mm. Maybe as the years go on, as Roscommon are now back, it becomes, there's a little bit more of an edge to it. But 60,000 people, you go 7 points up after 12, 13 minutes. I know you don't have much time to catch your breath, but is there a moment after you score that second goal and you look to be in complete control and heading towards an All-Ireland semi-final where you hear that noise of the Roscommon fans, and do you pause for a second at any stage and think, wow, this is what it's all about?
No, never. You never think of, I suppose, semi-final. You're just thinking of, like, this is Mayo. Like, this obviously Mayo were playing. They've been in this situation how many times? And like, it was, you said 12 minutes there, that it was 7 points up. Gee, I didn't even know it was 12 minutes myself. You know, that's kind of thinking, you don't know what's this, like, what's left, what's happening, what's going on up to the end of the pitch. You're just kind of focusing on yourself and kind of doing your own job.
Wondering where the hell Lee Keegan's got to.
Exactly, yeah. Still. But that's really what you're kind of looking out for. And there was never a moment that crossed my mind. I think maybe in the second half, we got level at one stage and maybe there was 10 minutes left and there's a bit of momentum with us that maybe, yeah, we can drive on now for these 10 minutes. But like, Mayo are just such a battle-hardened team and extremely, extremely difficult to beat. Like, even the best team of the last, possibly ever, the Dublin team, struggled to beat Mayo, and they don't really perform against them. It's just they managed to grind it out. And I suppose being in that position, like, it's a huge experience for us, but it is a huge learning curve, especially after the second day, that we're still a long way off where we want to go. But that first day definitely would have given us confidence that, I suppose, that we can get to that level. But it takes, you know, a lot of hard work and hard knocks.
It's a difficult question to answer in terms of how far you think you are off that level. We need, yeah, Roscommon, we need Down, Donegal, we need teams to close the gap on, well, Dublin and then Mayo, Kerry, Tyrone. How far off do you think you are, and how much do you think you gained from this season?
Okay. First of all, we have gained a lot from this season, but I think individual as players and team collectively and management have learned a lot. I think Dublin and Mayo are playing at a different playing field than anyone else. I think the semi-finals showed that. I know Mayo went to a replay, but I thought myself they were a lot ahead of Kerry going into that game. I think the two of them, you know, there's very little between Dublin and Mayo. And then Kerry and Tyrone obviously are next in the ladder, and they're a good bit below Kerry, Tyrone. But then you have the chasing pack. I think you have five or six teams there, maybe just behind the likes of Kerry and Tyrone, that are, I suppose, striving to make a semi-final and looking to really make a statement in Championship and not having just one big win to kind of live off. You know, we're really striving now to really, I suppose, get to that level of performance week in, week out that, you know, Kerry and Tyrone have done the last while, and then obviously Mayo and Dublin are always doing. So I think that's where I would have the rankings of teams at the moment anyway. There still is a chasing pack, but Dublin and Mayo are still the top of the hill.
Do you look at Mayo and what they've achieved over the last 6 or 7 years and think, that's a special group of Mayo players? Arguably, they've got 9 or 10 of their greatest players of all time, of the same generation, and they've all brought each other up to this level. Or do you look at it from a Roscommon point of view and think, actually, James Horan came in, changed the entire attitude of the county, and suddenly their expectations were higher, and that's what we need in Roscommon, that, yeah, over, if we can keep this group together over 5, 6, 7 years with the underage success we've had, that we can get to that type of level? Or is it a case that you're looking going, let's have one season where we can go on a run and get together 2 or 3 wins?
No, I think this Mayo team and a lot of their players, they're going to be part of the greatest set of Mayo players that play the game, I think. But you're saying that James Horan come in and change that, he probably did, but then it's up to the players. Like, James Horan does a certain amount, but then it's up to the players to get into that kind of that mode, that psyche, to kind of make themselves the best players they can be. So I think it's a bit of both. As a Roscommon man looking at Mayo, you're looking at them like getting to All-Ireland finals and semis every year. You're looking, geez, you know, you want to get to that level. That's the level you want to get at. And I suppose we're still, like I said, we're still a long way off it yet. But I think with Kevin and the lads in with us, and hopefully the players, that we stick together like the Mayo lads have stuck very close by each other the last number of years, that we can kind of hopefully get to that level and maybe kick on a bit more again. But I think... I think Mayo are just blessed that they've had a lot of good players that have kind of bought into a good culture under good management. So it kind of all comes together.
Yeah. Enda, thanks a million for coming in. The documentary is well worth a watch. Will you sit down together as a group at some stage and watch it?
Yeah, that's the plan, I think. Yeah,
there's a lot of Lee McHale's legs in it.
Yeah, a lot
which
of
is unsurprising.
Legs. Yeah, and they take over the whole camera. So we'll hopefully get one or two bits of team footage as well.
At some stage, yeah. It's not all Lee McHale's legs, I can assure you. Enda, great stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
And all the episodes of Behind the Gates are now available to view on youtube.com/AIB and AIB's Facebook and Twitter pages. You can also get exclusive behind the scenes action from the series on AIB GAA social media channels. Now, up next, we're going to hear from Cork's new senior hurling boss. We'll also get you up to speed with all tonight's Europa League games right after these.
Off the Ball
on News Talk in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.